Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Hi, this is Jeanette Ewing, our sound engineer. We may be having a slight technical problem. Please hold just a moment.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. CSNP has a lineup of rotating shows throughout each month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez, alternating in weeks in English and Spanish. And as a special treat tonight, Reverend Laura is on our show. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I continue to be the host for this fun show on the first and third Tuesday of each month. Wednesday features nature spirituality with none other than Selena Fox. Are you in the mood for some magic? Then you'll want to tune in on Thursday for Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. We have such a fun and informative lineup of shows, and we hope you try them all. Tonight, we're going to be talking with Circle Sanctuary Minister Reverend Laura Gonzalez about Dia de Muertos, or Day of the Dead. Laura will share tell us about this ancient and contemporary tradition and customs for honoring the dead in this indigenous Mexican holiday. Reverend Laura is a resident Bruja and professional tarot reader. Originally from Mexico, Laura came to the United States over 22 years ago, moving to Chicago, where she built a loyal fan base among both pagans and local community members. Born in Mexico City, she's a practitioner of traditional Mexican folk magic, native philosophies, North American paganism, and the goddess tradition. A natural-born witch and psychic, Laura discovered her abilities at a very early age, sometimes at the apprehension of those around her. In addition to her work as a natural psychic and tarotologist, she does consulting with a variety of deck types, including Spanish cards, and oracle deck cards. A Bruja in tune with the cycles of nature and the magic within, she's always willing to help those in need. Laura is a dedicated community activist advocating for pagan, LGBTQIA, diversity, and women's rights. She passionately works toward suicide prevention, supporting such organizations as the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and participating in their Out of the Darkness walk. She's a co-editor of an e-zine that we're going to talk about a little bit later, and she is an influential leader in the Latin American pagan community. She facilitates open discussions and teaches Spanish speakers pagan theory and practice. She's presented workshops privately and publicly at such events as Chicago Pagan Pride, Fort Wayne Pagan Pride, St. Louis Pagan Picnic, Circle Sanctuary, and Pagan Spirit Gathering. She's been featured in several pagan podcasts and radio shows, and she's been a guest presenter of Pagans Tonight Radio Network. She's a podcaster, as I said earlier, for Circle Sanctuary Network for CSNP. She has her own Spanish and English podcast on Mondays called Lunatic Mondays, where she alternates her podcasts between English and Spanish. She also produces the Spanish-Portuguese Paganos del Mundo for CSNP. In 2017, Laura began the minister training program at Circle Sanctuary and was ordained in the Circle Sanctuary's first Zoom ordination in 2020, and I was honored to be able to participate in her ordination ceremony. In 2018, Laura participated on the International Interfaith Art Project Prayer with artist James Webb at the Art Institute of Chicago. In addition, Laura is a certified Reiki master teacher and is the only bilingual advanced therapy of freedom healing. And in 2021, in October, just recently, she was a featured presenter at the World's Parliament of Religions. Want to learn more about Laura? Go to her Facebook. Her Facebook page is /LAUMAGIACERTAI. And you can also just type in Laura Gonzalez and you will find her. Let's welcome Laura to the show. Welcome, Laura.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. And
thank you.
Kudos.
Thank you
your presentation was excellent, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking tonight. So all of our listeners are in for a treat.
And I want to say thank you for such a beautiful, loving, very well-crafted presentation introduction. I was like blushing over here. You know, it's hard to, as much as I play about the ego and my ego is my friend and all that, but when you hear everybody saying all the things, it's like, you know, I'm blushing a little bit. Thank you so much for saying all of that. Yeah,
oh,
that was awesome.
Yes, it was. It was a really exciting, and it was, for those of you who aren't know, Parliament of the World's Religion is it's a global gathering of like over, I don't know, 300-400 different faiths come together and hold workshops and classes, and you attend services of the other faiths, and paganism is very focused there. And so you see a lot of pagan things, but you also see Catholic, Jewish, Buddhist. The Dalai Lama was the main speaker, so it's a cumbersome of all faiths, but it was a really great event. And actually on November 16th, we're going to be talking to some people about that. So,
it's going to be great. And I know you're going to have like the rest of the folks that participated. But I have to tell y'all that it was a dream come true of mine to first of all, do a solo thing on Parliament, you know, like, there was this buzz about, you know, panels was the way to go, and there was not going to be not a whole lot of solo presentations. And next thing you know, salute, lo and behold, I was, it was accepted that I did the solo part of Day of the Dead. So I was like, you know, surprised and fascinated by it. But to teach alongside Reverend Selena Fox on Festivals of the Dead, that was a long time coming because, and I'm just going to tell you, Deborah, don't tell anybody, okay? When I met Selena, she and I clicked, I think, because of the reverence that we have for working with the dead, the ancestors, So I dreamed, you know, like 2010, 2011, when I knew of her work and then I met her, I dreamed of teaching alongside her about Halloween, Samhain, Day of the Dead, All Souls Day, you know. And then it happened at Parliament. And as we were, you know, producing this and creating this together, the technology for the first time ever was not on my side. I could not see Selena when we were presenting together. I could hear her. Yeah. I could hear her, and it was very like, I don't even know what I said because I was so concentrated on making sure I was patching the video through correctly and listening to her voice and her cues. So when I was supposed to enter and speak, I couldn't see her the whole, and I haven't gone back to see the video just yet, but I'm sure I'm going to be able to detect on my face when I'm like just listening. So I told her we ought to do a redo of that class where I can actually see her and, you know, share together. But it was definitely an absolute dream come true for me to teach alongside with her and on Samhain and the other day nonetheless, you know, so it's like awesome.
Yeah, you're very much her equal. And again, it's funny how all these things happen and those of us who were attending had not a clue. It looked very smooth, and so it was kind of funny. So let me ask you, is it appropriate to say Happy Dia de Muertos, or do people say anything to each other about this holiday?
Nope. We don't say Happy Dia de Muertos. We don't, it's not, you know, when it's Mother's Day, yeah, you know, you say Happy Mother's Day, but when it's Day of the Dead, it's like, it's such a part of our life.
It just is. Right.
It's like me saying to you a happy day that you're going to work on Tuesday day.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
It is a great, important, fantastic occasion that we all wait for it to come the whole year and prepare, and we think about it so much. But it's not, we don't say happy the other way. That's definitely not.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's funny. But you know, this year I have been talking a lot about the butterfly theme that is part of Day of the Dead, and how the monarch butterfly has to go through three different countries on the North American hemisphere. And, you know, when I say America, I'm talking about the continent. I'm not talking about the United States. So, the monarch butterflies are arriving to Mexico as we speak from that migration that takes three generations of butterflies to come and go. So the butterflies that would leave Mexico eventually after the winter and fly north, and they make it to the United States in the summer, and then they go to Canada, and then they go back to Mexico. But it's not the same butterfly. It's the granddaughter. So the grandmother leaves Mexico, and then she births the mother in the United States, and the mother goes to Canada, comes back to the United States, and then the grandchild or the granddaughter is the one that makes it to Mexico. How do they know? It's a mystery. And the butterflies come, they arrive at this town called Agangueo in Michoacán, Mexico, in the southwest part of Mexico. And if you look at the map of Mexico, it looks like a horn of plenty or like a cornucopia. Think about the little the little chubby part on the southwest. We call it the stomach, the belly of Mexico. And complete opposite from the Gulf of Mexico, if you can picture that. And there's this town where they arrive, and like the monarch, Mexican people do the same, right? We are, we immigrate, and we've taken the other muertos with us. So wherever you see a Mexican, you'll have the other muertos, and our tradition is doing the same as the butterfly. It's growing so much in the United States. It's growing so much in Canada. It is amazing because, of course, we, the immigrants, have taken the tradition with us, and it's not a surprise to me because here in Chicago, there's a lot of people from Michoacán, and that's the area where the biggest celebrations happen. So I'm not surprised that it's so big here in Chicago. And we still have to deal with appropriation, and we still have to deal with people like wearing the sugar skull for Halloween. And it's like, you know what? It's just the same as wearing a headdress from like Native American people. So like, don't do it, you know, but people still do it. But it's like a never ending story, you know,
because it's become very popular in mainstream culture. Like you said, there's children's costumes that feature. And yes, it's very much part of the culture. So,
but you know,
makes you think that it's a current thing, but this goes back a lot. This is not a new phenomenon. This goes back
many
years. Tell us about that. I find that fascinating, the history of it.
Yeah, it goes back about 3,500 years. Some people say
right.
3,000 years, some people say 3,500. And that's why we want to preserve it and keep it away from the appropriation part, you know. So
right.
when people do it on a Mexican parade party, when you do it on a Day of the Dead party, it's probably not as bad. But when people do it for Halloween is when it's like you're not understanding anything, you know.
Right.
But
it's not appropriate. Right.
It's not at all. But it goes to 3,500 years. Or maybe more. Now remember that Mexico is also continental, like the United States, so it's a huge country.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can fit England like three times in Mexico or something like that. It's a huge
mm-hmm.
place. So there is very many traditions from the whole country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And each different town, each different indigenous group of people celebrate slightly different. But it's always around the time of the harvest time. It's always around, you know, the end of summer, just like Samhain. And it's very related to an agricultural celebration. So the origins of it is precisely a festival that was agricultural and it marked the end of the harvesting season. And the youth
mm-hmm.
would play games, and they will play games about, you know, climbing this pole and getting the fruit and getting some banners. And then it was this like festival, right, that happened because of the
mm-hmm.
bounty of the earth. But because her people spoke on metaphors all the time, the fruit and the seed play this huge part on why you pass to the next generation. Just like the earth, the fruit and the
mm-hmm.
seed will pass the information to the next generation. It was, life was conceived the same way. Mind you that we didn't have back then a concept of death. Death for
mm-hmm.
the Europeans was a finite thing. You die, you're done, you're gone. You don't exist
mm-hmm.
anymore. And for us, it was not like that. It was death was part of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People think that death is the opposite of life, but the truth is the opposite of death is birth. You know,
mm-hmm.
and life and death are part of the same experience. And so the actual name is Mictlan, which is like the land of sleeping or the
mm-hmm.
land of REM or the land of having dreams, if you will. And it's that deep state of sleeping. I think it's called the Tetha base sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Don't call me on that. But the idea is we go to the Mictlan and we come back. We go to the Mictlan and we come back. And then one day we just don't come back. And our body
mm-hmm.
ceases to exist, but our spirit continues. So every single person that I know of Mexican descent, we might not know anything, but we know that they've come back today. And
mm-hmm.
it happens to be today, actually. So that's
mm-hmm.
why when you invited me, I move everything out of my schedule. And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing the show because... it is today.
Absolutely.
Yesterday and today.
Now,
yeah.
Yes. Well, now tell us, and I learned so much, and I had some misconceptions. Traditionally, the days honor different things, correct?
Yes.
Like
so,
on the first, it's for children, or tell us about that.
Yeah, so what happened is it was two holidays that were 20 days long. So each month
mm-hmm.
on the so-called Aztec calendar, it's called the Sunstone, by the way, but people call it the Aztec calendar. So each month had 20 days. And two of those
mm-hmm.
months of 20 days each were celebrations for the dead. So the first one was the falling of the flowers called Tlazochimaco. And the Festival of the Flowers, Tlazochimaco. And that was the first 20 days, roughly from
mm-hmm.
Late July to the beginning of August. And
mm-hmm.
that was called the Micahuitl, the celebration for the young dead. And then the second
mm-hmm.
set of 20 days, it was called Xocowetzin. And that was called the Way Micahuitontli, which is the celebration for the older dead. Our people were very obsessed with numbers and counting and astrology and all that kind of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was believed, as you might be familiar with this, that people start changing at the age of 13. So after after 13 years, you were no longer a child. You were no longer a youth. Mm-hmm. Now you are becoming an adult. So the first 20 days were honoring only the people who were younger than 13 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second month, they will celebrate everybody from 13 up. And, of course, the grandmothers and, you know, the elderly. But when the colonizers came, when the Spaniards came, they tried to eradicate the holiday. And because they already had the All Souls Day and All Saints Day, they told the indigenous people, you cannot celebrate for 40 days. Why don't you celebrate 2 days? So people had to shrink the holiday and move it from 40 days to 2 days. And that's why we celebrate the babies, the stillborn, the miscarriages, and the very young kids are celebrated on November 1st. And then the young adults too. You know, people who are the elderly, they're celebrating today. And that's why today is like the biggest. And then it follows that indigenous tradition that the second was the biggest party because it's in the name. Way means big. So Way Mikai Witontli is like the big party. And but it varies from town to town, see, because Mexico, again, is so big. So some people are... Some people start celebrating on the 27th. Some people start celebrating on the 28th, on the 31st. I personally, I've been only setting up an altar the last 10 years because that's when my mom and my stepson died 10 years ago. So I put the altar mid-October-ish, but I don't put the photos in there until November 1st and November 2nd. And sometimes I leave the altar for a couple more days. Some people in Mexico will leave the altar until the 6th of November. Some people until the 15th. I mean, it varies. So you cannot say it's done this way because there is no one way to do it. You know, it's just so varied.
It's funny. I talked to my daughter earlier, and as I said, we are not Hispanic. But it's become in the mainstream culture. And my daughter's like, oh, today is Day of the Dead. And my grandchildren are watching the movie Coco tonight. What did you think of that movie?
I actually did not dislike Coco. The people of Disney did their homework. They really went deep into searching. So there are things that are very valuable in Coco. And there are things that I'm like, why were you all smoking? Because... you know, it's like, come on, that has nothing to do with Day of the Dead. First of all, I like that there is not a whole lot of religious imagery.
Right.
And that is a plus to me that it's indigenous. For those who have watched the movie, please stop the movie. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, cover your ears for the next 2 minutes. When the child and the guy that have been helping him for a while fall into this cavern of water, we call them cenotes. So they fall into this cavern of cave of water, and you can see an image on the cave of water, and is the point in the movie when they believe they're doomed. And then they discover the big secret. I'm not going to spoil the movie. That's when they discover the big secret, right? What relates to them too on the whole plot of the movie. And if you look at the cave, you can see the goddess in that cave. And when I was on the movie theater, I screamed.
Notice that. I have the movie. I will have to definitely look at that. That is
the goddess Mictlantecuhtli.
Somebody did their homework.
Yeah, so they did their homework. And if you, on the plot of the movie, you know, that happens on the older part of the Mictlan. And it makes sense that the older part of the town of the dead is the part where you have the pyramids and the most flowers is less sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have those caves of water where the life comes from. And then the image of goddess Mictlantecuhtli or Mictlantecuhtli, who is the goddess of death, it was to her that these holidays were offered to. So when
right.
I saw that, I was like, whoa. So that is good. Definitely the oral tradition, the family reunion, the talking about the
right.
dead, the healing about mourning, the healing of talking about the process of life and death. That is, they did a great job. The colors, oh my God, beautiful. What has nothing to do with Day of the Dead is the little alebrijes, the little animal, the spirit guide, animal, soul, whatever. That has nothing to do with Day of the Dead. That type of art creation of fantastic animals and creatures is something
right.
that is very, very young. It has been, it's very part of Mexican culture, but it's probably 100 years old, maybe less.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with Day of the Dead. But Disney being Disney, they needed a psychic. They needed the comic relief
right.
of an animal. And at least they grab an image that has to do with Mexico, but it has nothing to do with
Absolutely.
Day of the Dead. And,
Absolutely.
You know, but now it does, because now people are relating that with Day of the Dead, and art imitates life, imitates art, and it keeps evolving.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
I thought it, and it's interesting because for those in the pagan, Samhain is a time that you honor grief and you recognize mourning. And the Day of Dead is a holiday, and it appears to me it celebrates life.
Yes, ma'am. It is a
so
celebration.
It's a very different feel.
I guess we just have, I've been saying this lately in every presentation, we're Mexican, we cannot do anything quietly. We like to be loud. Hear me, okay? We have such consciousness of dying. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's so clear, it's so inevitable, it's so imminent. We all know
right.
we're going to die. And I know it sounds, for
right.
people who are not familiar with this, it's like, oh my God, the Mexican people are weird. No. We have this consciousness. We are a people that has gone through a lot. And
right.
we have survived a lot, you know. So comes 3,000 years of history. Yeah, we all know we're going to die. So might as well have a party right here, right now. Because when you're done, you're done. And you're still invited to the party after you die, but have the party now. So it is sorrowful. It is, you know, there are parts of Mexico where the celebrations are very solemn and they're very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like sitting in contemplation. And we have these women that are, their job is to go and cry at the cemeteries. And that's their job.
Right.
You know? So it varies from town to town, but the idea is, yeah, we're celebrating life. And I posted on my Facebook a couple of days ago, my level of joy and my level of sadness are exactly at the same level, because I
mm-hmm.
am remembering my mother very strongly. She died on
mm-hmm.
October 27th, so
mm-hmm.
10 years ago. Anybody can say anything. I believe she died close to Day of the Dead, because that was a wink to me, like,
mm-hmm.
like I know you like Day of the Dead, so I'm going to die at this time
mm-hmm.
of the year type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I might be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I mourn her loss because I miss her, of course. But at the same time, it's like I get to talk about her. I get to see
right.
her. I get to take
and you
photos.
Celebrate her.
Yeah, celebrate her life. Talk to my grandson about they never met. My grandson and my mom never met, so, you know, I get to talk about her and then talk about my stepson, my grandson's father, and I put him on the altar, and his mom likes that, and I get my grandson here and we talk about his dad and I ask him what he remembers about his daddy. And then I tell him anecdotes about me and grandpa and his daddy. And that is the core of the celebration, is bringing them back to life. Even if you don't believe that they come, we bring them in because we're talking about them.
Absolutely. So tell me about your family, how this celebration, how was it when you were growing up?
Very dry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one in the family that is obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. My mom was not really into that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up as a young teenager. It all happened because I was at school and we do offerings at school for Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Every year is customary. You do it on every grade of school. And I did an Aztec theme offering and my teachers were like,
mm-hmm.
oh, child, you're lost. This is not Aztec. And I was like, excuse me, this is so Aztec that you're so wrong. I cannot believe it. I was 12 years old. So I was 12 years old and I was telling my teachers who were my age now, you're the one is wrong. This comes from the Aztec. Be quiet. So because I knew at that young
so
age,
much.
Believe it or not, at that
mm-hmm.
young age, I knew it was coming from the indigenous people. I just become obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been researching every day since. And so my mom was not, my family by Mexican standards is very, very tiny. And
mm-hmm.
it's just like my mom and my siblings and my nieces and nephews. So we
mm-hmm.
don't have that extended family. So there was not a whole lot of death. People in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And now that my mom has passed on for the last 10 years, my siblings and I, we set up an altar. But before that, we
right.
didn't because we didn't have that extended family. And I've always been the one that is really obsessed with it. I say it proudly that I'm obsessed. I just make it humorous. But
absolutely. I think it's wonderful. So now the first time I met you is when you were at Circle Sanctuary and you gave a talk about this and you set up an example of a Sendes, a home altar that was stunning. Tell us about that.
Excuse me, I'm talking with my own saliva. Yes, that ofrenda that I did for Circle, which, by the way, is the photo that Selena shared today. So if you're on Facebook,
aww.
If you're on Facebook, you can go to that photo. And it's a three-tier altar. And I have flowers and I have sugar skulls there and candles and photographs and the bread, the traditional bread for Day of the Dead. So that is kind of like the staples that go on the altar. And this is like how people in Mexico City do it. I don't know, in different parts of the country, they're way more elaborated and they're huge. And of course, it's natural
yeah.
flowers. But the three-tier altar or the three-level altar is very traditional. And it represents,
mm-hmm.
you know, the underworld, the earth and the heavens. And this is now what is the influence with Catholic Church and how this like Trinity is represented
mm-hmm.
everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, you know, the levels. And what is traditional from the time of our indigenous people is the flowers. So these flowers that are called the cempasúchil, we call them cempasúchil. They have a name in English, but I cannot remember. I think it's...
Is it marigold?
I think it's marigold, yeah. But it's a specific
right,
kind
a marigold.
Of the marigold, of course.
Right.
And they are flowering in Mexico at this time of the year. And you have the yellow kind, the orange kind, and a deep, dark purple one that is just to die for. No point.
Right. And they're very fragrant.
They're very fragrant. They're very beautiful. So the main thing that you want to have on your altar is the flowers. Then you want to have fruit, of course. Then you want to have the photos of the loved ones that you're calling for. And then comes now other influences that are now part of the Catholic tradition that has pagan DNA, but don't tell anybody. And so the water for purification and the candles and the fire to purify the environment. And then this intricate adornments of paper that we call papel picado. It's a cut of paper, and that represents the wind, so it can purify with the element of wind to bring in the dead. And then, of course, you have the bread that some say it represents the earth. Some say it represents the wealth. And either way, this traditional bread, what I usually have, and if you can look at the picture that I was talking about, you can see the bread right there on the center. And it has little, like, ridges, like four little ridges. And those supposed to be the limbs, your bones. And then at the very center of the bread, there's like a little bowl that's supposed to be the head. So the bread actually represents a dead person. But there are other regions in Mexico where the breads are different looking, and they look like a little person, actually. They almost look like the goddess of Willendorf.
The shape
is very similar to that, but they're supposed to be representing a person. Like, it's not a goddess, of course, but it's the same shape, you know, the head, the torso, and then the hips, and then the legs, the spine on the bottom. And some have the arms on the side, some have the arms crossed. And it depends on which region of Mexico the bread will look different, but you will have the bread. And in this altar that you're, that I'm describing, this photo in particular, you can see the little sugar skulls and then paper cut sugar skulls, and there's like a million of them. But what is, what this altar is missing that is very traditional is those big pots of food, because this is a celebration. So we put food on the altar, and it has to be the food that are loved ones liked. So if I, when I die, and I have to say this, let it be on the record, I want the biggest altar, please. Like, if you don't put something for me, I'm going to be mad. Because I've been teaching for this for so long. I want my altar to be beautiful. So there has to be, like, now I'm vegan, right? So I've been vegan for 2 years. So now it has to be, like, vegan chicken tenders with French fries and lots of ranch. And of course, my diet soda that I never walk.
That's so funny.
Step without it. And that's what you put on the altar. You put on the altar what the person liked. So if Uncle Julio liked mole, then you have to put mole. If Cousin Juanita liked, you know, chicken caldo,
tamales.
Then you have to put chicken caldo. And if
Deborah
liked tamales, then you have to put tamales for Deborah, and so on and so forth. So that is what's missing on that altar. There is no food at all other than the bread. And I'm going to put this photo on the Facebook event for this very show so people can see what I'm talking about.
That's great.
And then at the very center of the altar in front of the bread, you can see a black thing kind of peeking from the center. That's a sensor. And what is carrying at the center is this hot resin that we use to purify, that is called copal. And it's a very traditional indigenous Mexican resin that we utilize to purify the environment and to invite the dead to come through. So it is very traditional to have that, the copal. And then after that, you know, you can do whatever calls to you. A lot of people put chocolate, which is also a traditional, you know, from our ancestors. For those who don't know, please, chocolate comes from Mexico. The very first cacao beans come from Mexico.
All right.
So from Mexico to the world, chocolate, vanilla, and tomatoes. Yes, red tomatoes.
All right. I didn't know tomatoes came from Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
That's fabulous.
Chocolate, tomatoes, and vanilla. So chocolate, because it was a sacred drink for the ancestors. And by the way, do me a favor, don't go to a cacao ceremony unless it's, you know, given by a Mexican people, because there is a plethora of cacao ceremonies that are done by people who have nothing to do with Mexican culture, and they are appropriating that sacred thing. And it's, and then they give you chocolate, and chocolate milk is not the same as cacao. So, you know, let's stop the cultural appropriation. Sorry, Deb, I cannot not be political. You know, I have to be.
No, I mean, no, you're absolutely, you know what, it is, Laura? Education is everything.
Yes, ma'am.
So, you know, once you know awareness, then people hopefully won't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So
it's like, that's why I always say the difference between appreciation and appropriation is education.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, but if you don't have all of these things and you want to do like a super simple altar, the photo of your loved ones.
Right.
Flowers and fruits or some kind of food. And you can get a pass with that, you know. But it can be as elaborate as it can be. And if you want to do it on the fashion of the Day of the Dead, then no pumpkins, no bats, no, you know, because that's not Day of the Dead, you know.
Right.
And in Mexico, you know, people put this bubbly soda on the altars. And somebody was telling me just recently, like, but that's not traditional. That's not traditional, but that's what the dead person liked. And
right.
That's what
and
they
it's
put
the bobby. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not disrespectful because it's still traditional, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell me about sugar skulls. Where did that come from?
That came from the colonizers, actually. And it is, don't believe me 100% because this cannot be corroborated, you know. But the story goes as follows. Now, this part is truth. There are places in Mexico where the loved ones are disinterred and their bones are cleaned and they are beautified and celebrated on this day. I know it sounds very morbid for some folks, but those are rituals that are thousands of years old and they see nothing morbid with it. So it is believed that at one point during the celebration, people will actually bring the skulls of their loved ones to be part of the party. We like skulls a lot because the goddess, that goddess that I was telling you about, her name is Mictlantecuhtli or Mixtecatlihuatl. She has flesh. She has a body with flesh, but her face has no flesh. And that's why you can see the skull. Also, the skull represents resting. It represents consciousness. It represents to be centered, right? To be at a place of peace. So the skull is everywhere on Mexican mythology and pictures and paintings and all of that from the ancient peoples because it represented humanity at its core, right? And the resting place. Our hands represent action. That's why you also see a lot of hands and hands showing the palm because it's like reflect in your actions. That's what that means.
Right.
So the skull is very sought out and for us is like very representative of life because here comes my phrase. What are we under the skin if not skulls with never ending smiles? I have to trademark that, by the way. But anyway,
you should.
We have skulls. I mean, we are skulls, right? So the story is people will come with the skulls and put them on the altar. And then can you imagine the Spanish conquistadors' faces when they saw that?
Yeah. All the skeletons, absolutely.
Sometimes I feel sorry for them because I'm like, that must have been so scary because, you know, they saw the devil everywhere. Of course, they see a skull and, they're going to be like, you know, scared. And that confectionery candy, that candy that is done with just sugar, it was very traditional from those parts of the world, from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in between, somebody said, what if we make them of sugar? And voila, that's how the sugar skull came to be.
That's really interesting.
Instead of bringing the sugar skull, instead of bringing the real skull, let's now put on this little confectioner candy, sugar skulls. And that, boom, that took on. And we Mexicans, I mean, we like to party. We like to eat. We like food. I was recently asking, like, I don't want to know what this comfort food is, man, because, like, people talking about comfort food, I'm like, I don't want to know what this comfort food is because I want my food to be comfort all the time. So we like to party. We like to have our sweets. We like our breads, et cetera. So that took on, and now people make them. Now the sugar skulls, or the skulls, I should say, sometimes are made of sugar. Sometimes are made of chocolate. Sometimes are made mm-hmm. with this seed called amaranto. And now people are making them of all different, you know, now they're like breads made on the fashion of sugar skull and so on and so forth. But it is believed that it also comes from that part of the ancient indigenous peoples that they used to put the skulls on the altar. And even though it's not proven, I don't think it's too far from the truth because, and I have research, and believe me, I have research. I haven't mm-hmm. found exactly other than it came from the Spaniards, but at one point the connection is made with like the real skulls. I haven't found that out yet,
mm-hmm.
but I will keep researching. And that is fascinating. And the tradition is that people gift those to you. So, mm-hmm. and this, I'm sure you heard me say this at the parliament, when somebody gives you a sugar skull with your name, don't be afraid. That means they love you.
That is very nice.
Yeah, it's kind of like a promise of, I will remember you.
I'll always remember you. Right.
Yeah.
That is nice. And you're right. It's really foreign to a lot of our traditions. But actually, I find that very comforting. I really like that.
Yeah, it's nice. It's how different, right? Because for us, they even say in the movies, like, why are Mexicans obsessed with that? We're not obsessed with that. We're obsessed with life. But also,
right.
we don't shy away from death, dying, and the process. We
right.
have the visitations at home and lots of natural burials. Lots
right.
and lots of natural burials, you know, because not everybody, it's so, not only culturally, but financially, not everybody has money to do a, you know, formaldehyde. What is the funeral home?
Like, right.
To me, when I came to the United States, that was part of a cultural shock to see
right.
so many funeral homes and people having their loved ones pumped with formaldehyde and
right.
What? Like only like the super wealthy in Mexico do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just different.
If folks want to find out more information about you, tell them where all they can find you.
They can find me. I'm everywhere. They can find me on Facebook. Facebook is Tarot by Laura. And you can just click on your Facebook search bar and put Tarot by Laura Gonzalez. And
mm-hmm.
Gonzalez with a Z, both of them. And you'll find my face there. That's my page for the tarot, but I do like all my business on that page. And you can find me through there. You can find me on my website, www.bruja, that's B as in boy, R-U-J-A, and then my name, Laura Gonzalez, but with a Z, .com. So Bruja Laura Gonzalez. But the easiest and most direct line is through Facebook because I live there and I go to the real world once in a while. On Instagram, you can find me as Magia Cerati, that's M-A-G-I-A-C as in car, E-R-A-T-I. So Magia Cerati, that's me on Instagram, but Facebook is the best way to find me. And if you are on the Pagan Spirit Gathering group on Facebook, or if you are on the Circle Sanctuary Friends group on Facebook, I'm the person that is always posting about the podcast. So that's where you can follow me through that. And yeah, I am offering tarot readings in person. I offer tarot readings online. I'm seeing people in person again. People has to have
you also. I'm a subscriber. You have a YouTube channel.
Yes, ma'am. And I put my readings on the YouTube channel. I do my coffee break with Tarot by Laura Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Usually October was a little discombobulated, and I only did like two or three, but I usually do Monday, Wednesday, Friday readings at noon through my Facebook channel, but I also post them on YouTube and on Instagram and on Twitter. So if you don't find me, it's because you really aren't looking. You can just Google Laura Gonzalez Day of the Dead, boom, or Laura Gonzalez Circle Sanctuary,
so
boom.
If I would like to have a reading, but I don't live near you, tell me how that works. I mean, you do Zoom. Is that possible? Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been doing the whole time since COVID started. I thank you, Goddess Fortuna. I've been very fortunate to be working online, and it's just the same. We just don't have that personal, you know, connection mm-hmm. where we actually can hug at the end of the reading. Mm-hmm. But it's the same. I mean, I've been doing tarot readings for 30-some years, believe me. I can do it through Zoom. So I mm-hmm. have a booking website that is called Calendly. Mm-hmm. So you can go to www.calendly. Let me read it because I don't know how to spell it in English. Okay, so calendly.com and then /tarot by Laura. So www.calendly.com/tarot by Laura. And there you can find dates, times. I have a special online tarot. So that's the one that mm-hmm. you will want to get is the online tarot. And that'll create a Zoom link for us. And once you send your payment, I book you. It's very easy now that all this technology, it was there.
Right.
It was there before the pandemic, but now after the pandemic or within the pandemic, they have really like refined all these resources. So it's like a lot easier and people can choose when they are available. They don't have to be back and forth with me. Like, when are you available? Like all the dates are there
mm-hmm.
And it's very easy. And then we just open Zoom and do the reading. It truly is the same as being in person, other than we cannot hug, but it's really the
mm-hmm.
same, you know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Tonight has been fabulous. Thank you so much for taking the time to educate us. Again, I think there's some misconceptions, and I don't think I know myself and my friends. I think people know, you know, they've heard of the Day of the Dead. They've heard of Dia de Muertos, but they don't know the rich history
yeah.
and culture and customs, and that it's an indigenous Mexican festival. Do you know what I mean? I don't think people – what I learned from you is the richness
yeah.
of this.
Thank you.
And,
thank you
and
so
again,
much. Thank you so much for having me. And I have to say, if you speak Spanish or if you speak Portuguese, please listen to Paganos del Mundo. Some of the shows are in Spanish. Some of them are in Portuguese. And that way we can continue building those bridges of understanding and learning and communication. That's why I'm so passionate about the podcast, because sometimes people will check it in. And even if they don't speak
mm-hmm.
Spanish or Portuguese that fluently, they will listen. And they will
mm-hmm.
catch up on certain things, you know, and it is my pleasure. I think in my core what I am is an educator. That's
mm-hmm.
why I love teaching. I teach tarot. I teach witchcraft. I teach paganism. I teach about Mexican indigenous stuff, and I love it. I love doing my teaching. I love doing tarot too, of course, but when it comes to my paid job, I love education, and I've been doing it for so many years, you know.
Well, we are very lucky to have you tonight, and we're very lucky to have you at Circle Sanctuary as a minister. So
thank you
again.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody listening.
And besides Reverend Laura, I'd like to thank Jeanette. She was our sound engineer tonight for her technical expertise. And I'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support of all of our shows here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, CSNP. Our next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, November 16th. For the first time, the 2021 Parliament was held virtually and had over 3,000 people of many faiths in attendance. Join us on Circle Talk because we're going to talk with Selena Fox and others on their perspective on the 2021 Parliament of World's Religions. I want to thank all of you all for being here with me tonight, and come back, and good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Bodies on the forest floor, the crone collects bones. The crone gathers the bones, she reads the symbols on the stones, she gathers up herbs. You may say it is absurd, but she can cure you of your ills, so you can shake those nasty pills. She is the crone, the wisdom of the crone. Thank you. healer, wise woman, medicine queen.
Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNPodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.